Welcome in, everybody. Happy Thursday. Chris Meany here with you. Another edition of Mean Streets on Game Plus Network, powered by FTN. Those hanging out with us live, we do appreciate you. If you can smash the like button, you have any comments, any questions, by all means, leave them there. We are going to talk a little bit of everything today on Mean Streets. We are going to talk UFC for the first time, I believe, on this show this year. I believe we've talked UFC in the past, but it has been some time. UFC event happening this weekend in Dallas, Texas. Amanda Nunes, Juliana Pena. It's a rematch. And that's really all I know about UFC. We're going to break down a couple matches, but we do have a great guest for you today. It is Duke Loves Wrestling at D Loves Wrestling. An absolute amazing guy. I had an opportunity to join him on his podcast when we launched Dangle Betselli on Game Plus Network over at Anthem Sports and Entertainment. And we've been looking to hook up, meaning to hook up. And when we chatted, we just had such a really good conversation. And I know he's a big wrestling guy and a UFC guy as well. So I am going to just tee him up and let him buck. We're going to talk about three of the fights. Of course, we will talk about the main card and the main event. Joshua Frick in the house. We get UFC today. Here we go. It's basically for you, Joshua. We do have a few UFC fans, viewers, listeners of this show as well. And of course, over at Anthem Sports and Entertainment, plenty of UFC content over there as well. So we are going to dive into a couple events. Joshua, if you have any questions, like, start to get them ready for Duke, because we want to be able to ask him some questions. So hopefully the UFC fans do enjoy this. And like I said, I'm doing a little bit of research. Nunes is a massive favorite here and lost when these two went at it. So that's really, again, all I have. I got some stuff here. Questions about Nunes' cardio. If it goes five, right, is it going to be bad news for Nunes? But I'm not going to act like a UFC expert here. We'll save all the goods for Duke. He's going to hop in about 10 minutes. We are going to continue the NFL team previews. We've touched on every single team in the AFC East but the Miami Dolphins. So we're going to dive into Miami. We already did previews for the Buffalo Bills. Last week we did the Bills. We had a guest on for the Buffalo Bill preview. We had a guest on for the New York Jets preview. I believe that I went solo. Actually, no, we had a guest for the Pats as well. We had Joe Pizzapia in for the Pats. I am going to go solo here with the Miami Dolphins. Going to dive into their team. It's a new-looking team, right? It's a new head coach in Mike McDaniel. What is he going to bring over to Miami? Very similar to San Fran. Is that how the offense is going to run? Raheem Mostert is part of the squad, who McDaniel's very familiar with. Brought him over. Chase Edmonds. And they've really made a lot of noise in the offseason. They brought in Mostert. They brought in Chase Edmonds. They brought in Sony Michel. They still have Myles Gaskin on the squad. They made the massive trade for Tyreek Hill. They gave a lot of trade draft capital for Tyreek Hill the year before. They gave a lot of draft capital trading with the Philadelphia Eagles to take Jalen Waddle. And Waddle had a fantastic season. Waddle and Hill both finished inside the top 10 in terms of targets. But how's that going to play out with Tua Tagovailoa? These guys are getting drafted. Hill's getting drafted as a wide receiver one. Waddle's getting drafted as a wide receiver two. Tua's going outside the top 15 at the quarterback position. He wasn't a guy that dropped back and threw the ball all that much. I believe he had 28 passing attempts just last season alone. But how's the offense going to look? Are these guys going to be able to return value if they're both going to be top 15 wide receivers? Why is Tua going outside the top 15? Also got a nice tight end in Mike Gesicki as well, who is falling down draft boards ever since the addition of Tyreek Hill. I mean, it's just pretty obvious, right, that he's going to fall down draft boards. But who's to say that he's not going to be a guy that gets five or six targets in this offense? They also signed Cedric Wilson, who was a member of the Dallas Cowboys. So it's a very different offense. And they do have some defensive pieces as well. I've really liked their draft over the past couple of seasons, you know, building the offensive line, getting some defensive players in there as well. Miami does have a lot to offer, but it is a very, very tough AFC, not just a tough division in the AFC East, but a very tough conference. I was thinking about this last night. Who's going to be the teams that get those wild card spots? If we're looking at the AFC West and we're saying, okay, I think that the Chiefs are going to take a bit of a step back, but say it's the Chiefs that win the division or the Broncos or the Chargers, will we see two teams from that division get a wild card spot? That means that one other wild card spot is open maybe potentially for the Raiders, maybe for the Bengals or the Ravens. The Ravens dealt with a lot of injuries last year. They are slight favorites to win their division, but we know how good the Bengals are. kind of feel like they're going to be knocking on the door. Cleveland remains to be seen what's going to happen with the quarterback position. But if Watson plays 12 games this season, they're going to be knocking on the door for a playoff spot. And then you have Miami, and then you have New England, who made the playoffs last year, and they have some new pieces offensively on their squad as well. So it's going to be a complete bloodbath in the AFC. You're going to have a couple teams that don't make the playoffs in the AFC with maybe better records than one or two wildcard teams in the NFC. And maybe just like, oh, wow, we had the Vikings make the playoffs with a 500 record, but yet we have the Chargers who missed the playoffs yet again with 9 or 10 wins. It's going to be very, very interesting. Daily Handle in the house. I don't think, what is he saying? Tua. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. I don't think Tua is the guy to take the Dolphins. Man, remember when it was tank for Tua. Everybody loved Tua. Tua this, Tua that, you know, clearly Herbert was the pick over Tua a couple years ago in the NFL draft. People were so sour on Tua or on Herbert, right? I mean, it's just, what was it? Because he was a duck? I don't understand. Like, nobody really liked Herbert that much. It was all Tua. And then, you know, obviously Joe Burrow went first overall. But I think everybody's a little hard on Tua. I think now he's got some weapons. Clearly, there's a connection with Waddle, his old former teammate. Tyreek Hill is explosive. You got a creative play caller in there. Multiple running backs that can, you know, spread out the touches. I don't think Tua's as bad as what people say. I really don't. I don't think he's as good as what Tyreek Hill has been saying, that he's like the most accurate quarterback of all time, more accurate than Patrick Mahomes, better deep ball. I mean, we'll get into the deep ball stats. He actually did have the best deep ball percentage in the NFL last year, but he only threw the ball 23 times of at least 20 yards. That's what we call a deep ball using some of our data over at FTN. He was 50%, pretty solid. But again, he wasn't up there with the rest of the quarterbacks chucking the ball deep down the field like a Russell Wilson, you know, double the passing attempts of at least 20 passing yards. So lots to get to here in the show. MLB picks and props. It is Shohei Ohtani Day. He has had double-digit strikeouts in 5 straight starts. His strikeout prop's a little high. It is plus money, but I am going to dive into Shohei a little bit. We do have some other MLB props and some picks to get to here on the show. It's been a decent run. A couple days ago, I believe we were maybe 5 for 7, and then yesterday, I think we were 3 for 5. We did get burned on a couple, but we have had a little bit of a decent run. FTNbets.com, lots of content over. You have the package. You get all the picks as well. And speaking of packages, we have Jeff Ratcliffe's Volume 2 over at FTNFantasy.com. He's got 300 player profiles in there. Included in the package, you get all of our content, all of our rankings. We have a ton of rankings over at FTNFantasy.com. Check out ftnfantasy.com/pricing. The link inside the description of this video. Use the promo code Meanie. Save yourself a little bit of cash, about 20% off. And like I said, the content is there. We'll be with you throughout the entire season. We got projections. We got tools, Discord channel. And then Ratcliffe's the number one ranker in the game. So you want his rankings, but also you'll be able to see like mine, Nelson Souza, Vlad Sedler, Adam Pfeiffer. We have our rankings there. So side by side, a little bit of a feel there. So get involved in if you want the package. I think right now is a good time to get it. And Jeff is updating those rankings, and he has Volume 2 live. And then we have a DFS early bird package as well for those who want to be with us throughout the DFS season. As you see there, you know, it seems high, right? 199, 150. I'll be honest, we went live with this yesterday. It's limited to the first 150. We are already down now to sub 50. I believe there's like 35 packages left at this price. Then it will jump up to like 229. And, you know, if you're just on the fence about this, I think, you know, now is the time to jump in. We have a lot of sharp minds that are going to be giving some DFS content. We'll have a DFS show. I believe I'm going to host it with some of those sharp minds on Friday. We're going to have content articles. You got the optimizer in there. You got projections. You have the Discord channel. You have a lot of guys that have won, not one, but not two, but multiple millionaire takedowns. Millionaire takedowns. Not one, not two. Like two gun. Oh my goodness. This guy's won the Millionaire Maker 3 times. 3 times. Are you kidding me? Crazy stuff. Daily Handle in the house, Joshua Frick in the house, Albert, good morning, Meanie, good morning. We appreciate all the support. If you guys could smash the like button, and Medi in the house, the MLB player props have been money between you and Gross. We appreciate that. I mean, I just to have be in the same sentence as Gross is, this guy's up to like 90 units in MLB. We have MLB The Dream as well. MLB Dream is at like 30 plus units. We're hovering around the mid 20s. We've got Joshua Frick in there as well. And again, what I always say, the betting packages, all the sports. Golf, football is basically here, guys. NHL will be here before you know it, but PGA, UFC, NASCAR, esports, it's all included, and we have a free pick tracker over at ftndaily.com. But we do appreciate you, Mehdi. But the package alone, it's worth it for Josh Gross. I mean, he's up like 200 units in tennis, sharp football mind as well. Got to get him on the show. I know he's a busy dude, but we're going to have some things in the works for him. So we're going to take a quick break. We do have Duke Loves Wrestling here. So we're going to dive into UFC weekend. We'll do two segments with him. I believe he's got like an upset pick. We'll talk about the main event, of course, the rematch between Nunez and Pena. And I have some, along with Miami Dolphins, we're saying goodbye to the NFFC round 17, 18, 19. We're getting too deep, but I do have some undervalued tight ends. I know it's like, wow, tight ends? Really going to talk to me about undervalued tight ends? I am. I'm going to talk to you about a couple. One tight end that I feel will finish as a top four tight end that's going around tight end 7 or 8. Talk about all that. Lots to get to here on Mean Streets. Keep her locked. Duke's in here next. What's going on, everybody? Welcome in out of the break. You are watching Mean Streets live on Game Plus Network and our FTN Network YouTube page. Chris Meany here with you as we bring in the GOAT, Duke Loves Wrestling. I am absolutely thrilled to be able to talk, a little bit of UFC with you, Duke. You know I am not a huge UFC fan. We're not going to fool anybody with my takes and my picks here, but welcome into the show. UFC 277 happening on Saturday in Dallas, Texas. Of course, it's Nunez and Pena, the rematch. I want to save that, but welcome in, man. Thanks for taking the time here today.
Well, my cousin from Canada, Chris Meany, it is an absolute pleasure to finally be on Mean Streets. My man, I am ready. Let's talk some UFC.
I love it. Yes. And we'll plug a lot of things that you're doing too, because you are killing it in this industry and you're doing a lot of great stuff. And it's nice to see you. I think you have the best radio voice in the game. So it's actually nice to put a face to the voice. So let's dive in, but let's save Nunez. So we save it for we'll do maybe two segments and we'll save that one as well. So where do you want to start here? I'll tell you where to start. Let's go with, let's start here with Derek Lewis, who checks in at plus 115. And then we got Sergey Pavlovich, who the research that I've been doing here, Duke, is that this guy is a headhunter. It doesn't really kick. He's got an 84-inch reach, which I think is crazy. He's a little younger. Maybe he's a little faster. We don't have to dive into odds too much, but you're a guy who follows this sport pretty well. You know these guys pretty well as well. So I'll let you take it away. What is intriguing about this matchup here?
Well, Chris, this is a can't miss right here. First of all, Derek Lewis, a.k.a. the Black Beast. This is a dude that drops bombs with those fists that he has. He can knock anyone out in the first round. In fact, he has the most knockouts in UFC history. Okay, this is a guy that can get it done in the ring. Very, very dangerous. You want to keep an eye on him, especially the first 2 minutes of the fight. That's really where the magic happens for Lewis. But where I'm concerned about Lewis is that he doesn't have much of a motor. He starts to slow down as the fight keeps going. God forbid you get out of the first round with this guy. Once you get to the second, possibly third round, Derek Lewis is in big trouble, man. So that's why I'm telling you, I love Derek Lewis. I love the Black Beast. But I'm going with Sergey 100% on this one. I think Sergey is going to get a TKO in the second round because Lewis is going to run out of gas.
Okay, second round. All right, yeah. The Black Beast, heavy punch. So you've seen plenty of knockouts when it comes to Lewis. That's going to be the game plan, I guess, for Sergey, is just to try to, you know, with his long reach, maybe to avoid some of those heavy shots.
Sergey's got to hang on for the first 2 minutes. He's got to find a way not to get caught because, again, especially when Lewis starts to look like he's getting tired, he puts that power in that punch, man. He could knock you out, and I would feel it, Chris, okay? That's how serious the Black Beast is. But there's something about the young man, Sergey. These guys from his camp, they don't play around. They can take punishment. They have a motor. They're built to last. I absolutely expect him to pound Lewis into the ground in the second round.
Okay, I love that. So those hanging out, keep that in mind for this Saturday as well. Let's get to another match. Again, we'll save Nunez and Pena for a little bit here. So Drew We got Drew Dober, and then we have Rafael Alves here. I believe, actually, like from a betting standpoint, this one kind of opened up a little bit closer to a pick'em, and it's changed here a little bit with Alves at plus 160. I'll let you again take it away. What are you looking at between these two fighters? And I think Dober, man, this guy, look at the chin, look at the face. Like, this guy, it looks like he might be a hard dude to knock out.
Yeah, Dober is definitely an up-and-coming fighter, somebody who's very exciting. He definitely has some punching ability that you want to stay away from. There's no two ways about it. He's a tough guy, okay? A lot of folks expect him to win this match decisively. They expect a knockout. I'm not one of them. Chris, I got to apologize to my friends in Vegas, okay? I'm talking about Mrs. Jones. I'm talking about Frankie and the guys. I'm talking about Fat Tony and Little Tony. Okay, don't mix them up, Chris. We got Fat Tony and Little Tony. I apologize to all of you because I 100% am going with Alves. Rear naked choke, second round. He is going to make Dober tap. Once again, you got a guy that's going to punch himself out. I think Alves is built to last. I mean, he's what, 3-1 since 2020? This is a guy that's coming off of a serious injury. He's ready to make it happen here. Most importantly, he's motivated about making money, okay? Alves needs to put some coins in the bank. He's made that clear to everybody. He is fighting not only for himself, he's fighting for his family, and I don't think Dober can handle that. I think Alves, 100% second round, rear naked choke, possibly a guillotine choke, okay? Alves is a submission specialist. Okay, you can expect he's going to make our man Dober tap out. That's right.
Wow, I like that. Coming in hot. Upset City, Daily Handle says. Why do you think the odds are the way that they are? Why do you think Vegas, you know, went this way with minus 190 here to plus 160? Any idea?
Well, you know, it's very strange here because Dober, like I said, he's an up-and-comer. He's definitely a guy that people expect to finally break through and make some waves in the UFC. But Alves is not a guy you can ever count out. So I'm very surprised the way things have been going here with the speculation on this fight. Alves was supposed to fight in the springtime, but because he didn't have enough money to take care of an injury that he had to hold back and wait until now where he can take this fight. And I think that had something to do with playing around with the odds, where people wondered if Alves is actually serious or not. But that's a mistake. This guy is built to last. He's a veteran, knows what he's doing out there. He can choke anybody out. There's no way I would ever bet against Alves. That's just the truth of it.
All right. First or second round potential knockout here at plus 160. Pretty interesting. Coming in hot with the upsets. We like that here on this show, dude. Right. Hang tight if you don't mind. We'll have a quick little break here on Game Plus over at Anthem Sports Entertainment. We'll be back after the commercial here at Chris Meany and Duke Loves Wrestling. Keep her locked. You're watching Mean Streets here on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany and Duke Loves Wrestling here with you. We are breaking down UFC 277 happening this Saturday in Dallas, Texas, surrounded around the rematch between Nunez and Pena. But Duke, before we get into that, why don't you take the time and, you know, share with us some of the things that you're doing. You got your podcasts. I said off the top of the show that I had an absolute blast with you when Dangle Betselli launched on Anthem Sports Entertainment. You and I had a really fun conversation. You are a bit of a hockey guy too. You know, you had said it's been some time, but you were dropping names from like guys in the 90s, early 2000s, players you used to watch and things like that. But why don't you take the time to talk about your podcast and some things that you're doing as well?
Absolutely. Yeah, the name of the podcast is Duke Loves Wrestling, R-A-S-S-L-I-N. I'm telling you right now, folks, if you like compelling interviews with some of the top stars from mixed martial arts, pro wrestling, the sporting world in general, then you definitely want to check out Duke Loves Wrestling. And as Chris Meany said, he came on the show, we were talking a little hockey. I'm a Boston guy, if you haven't noticed by the accent. So I know a little bit of something about some ice hockey there. So we had some fun talking about that. Dangle Betselli, always plugging that show, always plugging Mean Streets, because, you know, Chris Meany is my long cousin from Canada. Okay, this is a family affair here, folks. So definitely check out Duke Loves Wrestling. I really appreciate it. And most importantly, on your favorite podcast app, give me a 5-star rating. I'd really appreciate that. That's right.
Absolutely. Yes. You know, fantastic stuff. And really do appreciate all the support that you've given me and this show and Dangle Betselli with Eric Young. I know Eric is a big fan of you as well. And we really do appreciate all the support, dude. So it's been really fantastic. Thank you so much for that. And you asked me what I would eat in Canada at, know, watching a hockey game, right? We talked about the wings. So like, what are you going to do this weekend? What do you have planned? Is there any like things that, you know, you have to cook or like things that you're going to do this weekend when you watch these fights?
I knew you were going to ask me this, Chris. So I was ready. Yes. Okay. I've been perfecting my recipe for maple, soy, honey, ginger, garlic wings. Okay, so we do maple syrup. We do a little bit of the soy sauce. It could be low-sodium soy sauce, but we do a little bit of the soy sauce. We do ginger powder, and we do garlic powder. You mix that up to taste, all right? So don't worry about your ratios. Whatever tastes good to you. I like a little extra ginger. I want a little kick in there. But make your wings the way that you do it. Make them nice and crispy. I do the air fryer. Then toss those wings in that sauce. I'm telling you right now, Chris, you wash it down with a Sam Adams Summer. That's what I'm going with. It has a little citrus kick to it. So it's a nice accompaniment to this sweet and spicy chicken. The best. The best. I'm ready for you.
Sam Adams it's a Boston beer too, right?
Like, you got that right. I'm going with the maple syrup out of respect for my cousin, Chris Meany.
Yes.
Okay. I got to do it for my cousins up there in the great North. That's right.
I love it, man. That sounds fantastic. I'm all of a sudden very, very hungry. D loves wrestling on the Twitter machine. You got to make sure you follow Duke. Your pod though, do you have strict times? Is it just like whenever you can get some of the fighters, like when can people expect, like if they follow and they subscribe, they can get it right away when you go live with it. But do you have like a set schedule or that you do?
You know, it's funny. I definitely do one episode per week. That's guaranteed.
Okay.
Usually drops Thursday evening, but lately the response has been so tremendous. People want to be on Duke Loves Wrestling from all over the sports and combat sports world. So I've had to increase my episodes. So there are some weeks where you're going to get three episodes of Duke Loves Wrestling, and it's really focused on the interviews. Okay. Men and women talking about their life story, the person behind the character. That's what it's all about there. And of course you get some of my shenanigans thrown in between as well. So it's definitely something, folks. If you have a long drive or you're somebody who enjoys great conversation, check out Duke Loves Wrestling, hit that subscribe button. It's free. You're going to enjoy it for sure.
Nice. I guarantee you will for sure. Okay, let's get into this. Let's get into this rematch. Nunez and Pena. Yeah, my goodness. So I was actually surprised. Like I told you, right? Even when you and I are chatting, I don't know too much about the sport. I follow. I'll watch it, obviously, and it's super entertaining. And I see, oh, this person won, this person won. And then I see Nunez minus 275, and I start doing some research. It's like, oh, wow, like Pena won this when they fought earlier. And there's some questions about Nunez cardio. If this, you know, is a 5-round fight, is she going to be fine here? And then I hear people, you know, as a sidebar here, that she's the GOAT woman fighter of all time. Maybe touch on that and let's see your thoughts. Is she going to get her revenge on Pena?
Well, first and foremost, I want to make something very clear. There are two fighters in the history of mixed martial arts who are my all-time favorites. Okay, the first one is the Russian Bear. And this is old school here. Oleg Taktarov. Okay, he's one of the originals in UFC going all the way back to the early 90s. Okay, that's my favorite fighter. The close second is the Lioness, Amanda Nunes. I absolutely adore the way that this woman fights. I think she's the baddest person on the planet, male or female. I think she can kick my ass. She can kick your ass. She can kick your auntie's ass for sure. Okay. I was heartbroken. And I'm a December baby, Chris. Okay. This was supposed to be my birthday gift to see my favorite active fighter win. And unfortunately, Juliana Pena, she robbed me of my best birthday gift when she defeated Amanda Nunes. And she did it in perfect style. She stood firm. She took all the shots. She traded blows with Amanda in a manner that no one had ever seen before. Okay, Pena is tough, man. She has some hands on her. which no one expected to happen. And in the end, Nunes, like you said, she ran out of gas, which allowed Pena to choke her out and get the victory. That ain't going to happen again. Juliana Pena, I'm going to tell you right now, you're a hell of a fighter. I take nothing away from you. But you, my friend, made the biggest mistake of your life when you got that upset victory in December. So here's how it's going to go down, okay? This Saturday, Amanda Nunes is going to make Juliana Pena bleed, sweat, and pay the price of a mixed martial arts lifetime. I'm telling you right now, Chris, and you can take this one to the bank. Amanda Nunes has been working on her grappling. She's been working on her wrestling like never before in her career. She is going to take Pena down, and she's going to go old school with it. Okay, she's going to do ground and pound. She is going to pound on Pena's beautiful face. The Venezuelan vixen is what she calls herself, Pena. Nunes is going to pound her until the referee stops that fight. It is not making it out of the first round. Okay, oh, Nunes wow. has never been more motivated for a fight than what you're going to see this weekend because Pena talked trash on top of it. She didn't just win. She hurt Amanda Nunes is pride, okay? So now we got to figure out who has the biggest ovaries in the room. The lioness, Amanda Nunes, is walking out with that victory. Take that one to the bank, Jack.
Oh, man, Duke, you're fantastic. That was a really, really good breakdown. I was going to add, that was going to be my follow-up. Of course, you went into it of how, you know, she could adjust and make adjustments, you know, from Pena, and I guess that's it, right? The grappling and just trying to, you know, being super aggressive early on to just try to get that over with quickly, correct?
Let me tell you what Nunes did real quick. She bought a gym, okay? She bought a gym. Nobody else is in there. It's just her and her team working on her wrestling. Nunes has cement for hands. She has no problem with knocking people out, but the problem was Pena. She could take a punch. Standing up, she can take a punch. And she did not back away. In fact, she leaned in. And one of the tough things about Pena, and I got to give her a lot of credit for this, in the history of UFC, there isn't a woman who's had as many fights in the UFC as Pena who's been hit as little as Pena. Pena doesn't take a lot of shots, man. She's good. She's good at blocking. She's good at moving around. And that's part of the reason why she was fresh for that fight. Nunes didn't expect it. You know, that's not going to happen this time. Expect a couple of leg kicks to soften up Pena. Then she's going to take her down. Nunes is going to get on top. It's going to be like Mark the Hammer Coleman, ground and pound. She's going to pound Pena's face in until that referee stops it. And then Dana White, show me the money, baby. Okay? The greatest of all time, the lioness Amanda Nunes, you crown our queen once again, the champ, first female champ in UFC history. Get that belt back around her waist. That's right.
So she is the female goat then. Absolutely. Oh,
is nobody. I don't care. Ronda Rousey, Chris Cyborg. I don't care. Misha Tate, give me a break. Amanda Nunes is the greatest of all time. No question about it.
She beat Ronda, right, years ago.
Beat the hell out of her. She didn't just beat her.
Yeah, it wasn't even close.
Destroyed her.
Yeah.
Broke her nose within the first minute of the fight. Beat the hell out of her.
Yeah. And that was a surprise at the time, though, was it not?
Oh,
sure. Was that a big surprise at the time? Nobody really, really saw that coming. And that
Here's why I was surprised. Because everyone bought into the hype of Ronda Rousey. And I take nothing away from Ronda. I respect her. She's one of the greats as well. But the thing about Amanda Nunes, you're talking about Brazilian. You're talking about somebody who's come from humble beginnings. You're talking about somebody who fighting is her life. It's what she's all about. It's what she's made of, man. You can tell when you look in a person's eyes what they're all about. You don't see anything but business when you look in Amanda Nunes' eyes. That's why she is the lioness. Leoa, that's what she calls herself. And for sure, that's what she is, man. She's unstoppable. And Pena, I tip my hat, but that was a fluke. It's not going to happen again.
Duke, this is fantastic, man. I knew you'd be an absolute baller on this show. I've got to have you back. If you're open to coming back again, we can break down another fight. Of course, you know, there'll be lots of opportunities to do that. So really appreciate your time. Check out Duke on the Twitter machine. D loves wrestling. Duke loves wrestling. Subscribe to that podcast. You will not be disappointed. I love the fact that you have these like you said, it's interview based. You get a bit of a inside peek of, you know, what the life is like for some of these certain, like these athletes as well. So keep up the good work. Appreciate it. I don't know this about you. Do you have a favorite football team? Do you have a football squad? I'm going to switch gears and talk football. So, I mean, on the way out, I don't know if you've got a squad that you like or you follow.
Well, I have to admit this. I do not root for the home team, even though I'm Boston born and bred, been here my whole life. I am a Dallas Cowboys fan.
Okay. All right.
And I'm very upset that people have been sending out that meme saying that Jennifer Lopez has had more rings in the 2000s than my Dallas Cowboys. That's unacceptable. That's embarrassing. It might be true, but there's no reason for you folks to have to rub that in our face, okay? This will be our year. That's right.
Oh, man. Just when I thought we could be BFFs, you know, as an Eagles guy, I don't know how much I like you being a Cowboys fan. I'm just kidding, man. I put that all aside, man. I think you're one of the best as well. So appreciate it. Enjoy the Sam Adams and the wings this weekend. And most of all, just enjoy the fights, man. And I can't wait to hear you talk about the fights, recap them on your podcast. So check it out. It's absolutely free. D Loves Wrestling on the Twitter machine. We're going to say goodbye to Duke. Appreciate you, my friend. We're going to switch gears and we're going to talk a little football here on Mean Streets. Don't go anywhere. Yo, how great was Duke? Yeah, that guy is fantastic. I love it. Some nice insight there as well. And he came in with an upset. He guaranteed some stuff. Absolutely love it. And he had like a wicked recipe for wings that I'm going to have to try out as well. I'm going to have some Sam Adams with him, you know, across the pond, across the water. And I'll share with my American buddy there. And Duke loves wrestling. Want to talk to you guys about some tight end, undervalued tight ends. I know it's like, wow, really? You're going to talk to me about undervalued tight ends and sleepers? Like the tight end position stinks. I know what everybody says, but there's a lot of people playing, you know, tight end premium leagues out there. You can start two tight ends. You know, I know the Scott Fishbowl is already wrapped up, but a lot of people have kind of taken that format. You know, we went over the Independence Invitational here, you know, last month when it happened, and, you know, actually roughly 3.5 weeks ago. And that league rostered two tight ends. Some people can roster a second tight end as a flex. I think sometimes it's a little bit easier to find a tight end on the waiver wire that you're just kind of hoping is going to get some red zone targets, maybe find a touchdown. And for the most part, if a tight end scores a touchdown, you're finishing as a top 12 tight end for the week. It really is a weak position for sure. It's top heavy. And then you're looking for value across the board. So I'm going to, you know, come at you guys with a couple names here. Daily Handle will get to Tua here in the next block when we dive into the Miami Dolphins. But I want to start here with a tight end it's not really, again, when we talk about undervalue, we talk about sleepers, just tight ends that I think will outperform their ADP. And the first guy for me, actually, I'll save him. I'm just going to start with the obvious that everybody loves, and it's Cole Kmet, but I think it's warranted. And actually, I think I like Cole Kmet a little bit more than most people. Tight end 14 on average, ADP 134 high stakes leagues over the last 5 weeks. As you see, I have him ranked as tight end 11. I would not be shocked if he finished ahead of Dallas Goedert, if he finished ahead of, you know, honestly, TJ Hockenson. I wouldn't be shocked if he finished ahead of Zach Ertz. I really do like this guy, Cole Kmet. You see the numbers on the left, the 93 targets, the 60 grabs, the 612 yards. The biggest one is the donut and, you know, zero touchdowns, right? It's tough. That's why he didn't finish, you know, as the top 15 tight end. He finished as a tight end, 27.1 fantasy points per game. Jimmy Graham, no longer a factor. The biggest thing for me when it comes to Cole Kmet is the note on the bottom right. He ranked inside the top 12 among tight ends in targets, catches, and yards. That's significant. That's really what you want from your tight end. You're getting a tight end outside the top 12 that finished inside the top 12 in targets and yards and receptions. Like I said, just didn't have the tight ends. Allen Robinson is no longer on the squad. They didn't do anything in Chicago to help Justin Fields. Drafting Velus Jones and signing Brian Pringle is not helping Justin Fields all that much. It's going to be Darnell Mooney and it's going to be Cole Kmet. So we're going to get a tight end here that I think is going to top 100 targets this season. And there were only six tight ends last year that had 100 targets. There weren't plenty of tight ends that were getting this kind of volume and that you can get outside the top 10. Would not be shocked, as I said, if this guy finishes a top five. He was one of two players last year with 60 catches and no touchdowns. It's not going to be the case this season. He is going to find the end zone. He's going to get a lot of work inside the red zone. And this is year three for Cole Kmet. He was drafted high. And he's just a really good route runner. He's explosive after the catch, and his hands are strong too. I am really drinking the Kool-Aid, but I really like Cole Kmet. a lot more than a lot of people. And I think if you're drafting tight ends and if you don't get one of the top guys, if you don't get a Pitts, I'm not really into Travis Kelce early in the second. I think Andrews is okay. I love Pitts as a target. We'll get into another guy here in a second that I really like as a target. And then after that, I'm kind of fading the range of Goddard, Zach Ertz, TJ Hockenson. And then I'm looking outside the top 10 at a guy like Cole Kmet, maybe Herb Smith. Here are a few others that I like that I think will outperform their ADP. Maybe a couple towards the end of this list, not so much as single tight end leagues with your 11 buddies or your 9 buddies in a 10 team or 12 team, but I think that these guys will outperform their ADP. And I'm starting strong here with Dalton Schultz. Dalton Schultz is a guy that I really like. I have him ranked as tight end number 3. I think Pitts, tight end 4, sorry. I think we go Kelce, we go Andrews, we go Pitts, and we go Schultz. Dalton Schultz finished as tight end 3 last year. He had 78 catches, which was number 3. He had over 800 yards. He had 8 touchdowns, which is one off the tight end high. 9 was the most from a tight end last season. No Amari Cooper on the squad. No Cedric Wilson, who was, not a huge player in the passing game, but not having Amari Cooper is significant. This is a guy that just turned out 1,000 yards in, I believe, every single season but one for the Dallas Cowboys. He's coming off his worst campaign. He suffered some injuries. He's no longer on the team anymore. And then Blake Jarwin wasn't really a factor last year. Not a factor. Definitely not a factor at all this year. We know that Dak Prescott really liked Dalton Schultz. He went his way a lot in the red zone. He was a red zone target monster. He was getting end zone targets as well. And he's probably the number 2 in this offense. He really is. CeeDee Lamb is going to get a lot of targets. He's going to also garner a lot of attention. This is going to be the first time in his NFL career where he's going to get top corners all over him all the time. Dalton Schultz is a mismatch. He's explosive as well after the catch. He's going to be a red zone target. May not see Michael Gallup for the first few weeks of the season. He could be on the PUP list. We may not see James Washington have a big role. In fact, I don't think that he will have a big role in this offense. And then you have Jalen Tolbert, who they drafted as well. You know, just a rookie. Maybe we shouldn't have high expectations for him. I like him as a player. I like the draft pick. I think he could be something this year in fantasy. But clear-cut number 2 option in this passing attack, in a good passing attack, Duke's Dallas Cowboys. This is a team that finished number 1 last year in points and passing yards. They were explosive offense, bit of a step back with no Cooper in the offensive line. But I think Dalton Schultz is a really, really strong target. I think he's a fantastic target, actually, in like the 4th or the 5th round. A couple of those tight ends that we had on the board, just going to run through them quickly. Gerald Everett, just in a really high-powered offense. Justin Herbert's going as quarterback, too. They're aggressive in Los Angeles. We saw Cook had some moments. We saw Everett have some moments last year in Seattle with Russell Wilson and also Geno Smith. I think Everett, towards the end of your draft, is a good target. Mentioned Robert Tonyan yesterday, you know, tight end 23 last year, some injuries. Maybe a season that is unsustainable. Certainly 2 years ago, he popped off. He was very efficient on fewer targets, but he found the end zone quite a bit. And then he just, with no Adams, he could be the number 1 red zone target. Lazard, I like Lazard. You're going to get catches out of the backfield with Dylan and with Jones, but Robert Tonyan is free. He could be your last pick at the tight end position, and I'd actually be fine with that. Logan Thomas and then Brevin Jordan probably need to have like 2 tight end spots to get excited about these guys, but everybody liked Logan Thomas last year. Why can't we like Logan Thomas this year? It's an upgrade at the quarterback position, whether you believe it or not. Carson Wentz is one of the better quarterbacks that they've had since 2017. This is quarterback number 13 since 2017, Carson Wentz. Always utilizes tight ends in Philly with Zach Ertz and Goddard. Clearly, Terry McLaurin is the number 1, but an opportunity for Logan Thomas to be the number 2. And Ricky Seals-Jones is not on the squad this year. And Brevin Jordan, I just think that I have him ranked as tight end 21. Tight end 27, he's not even getting drafted. He's going to be the number 2 in Houston. Nico Collins has an opportunity to be the number 2 behind Brandon Cooks, but Jordan only played 9 games last season, and then you really saw him towards the end of the season get some targets. I think he's talented too. I think he's a really good athlete, explosive as well after the catch. He could be the red zone target, the number 1 for Davis Mills, who did a pretty decent job last year when nobody really thought he would. He may have been the best rookie quarterback last season. I think Mac Jones was. But Davis Mills was much better than Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence. He was not bad. And it's not a good team, guys. They're going to be throwing the football quite a bit. Don't be shocked if Brevin Jordan is the guy that we talk about here on Mean Streets as like a tight end that's been productive and that's only hanging around. I say only, but only, oh yeah, only owned maybe like 20% of Yahoo leagues. His ownership when we get to week one, I bet you he's going to be sub 15% in Yahoo, ESPN, CBS. Consider him as maybe a deep, deep sleeper or somebody in DFS when we are talking about the Texans. I know they're not going to score a lot of points, but Brevin Jordan breakout season, it's happening. If you don't believe me, go check out Jake Seeley. I think he likes him a hell of a lot more than me. He's driving the bus. I'm just sitting in the passenger seat. All in Football can be found over on Game Plus Network. We got the Miami Dolphins in here next, and we're going to wrap up with some MLB picks. Keep her locked. Let's get into the Miami Dolphins here. They're in a very tough conference, and clearly the Buffalo Bills are the cream of the crop when it comes to the AFC East. Let's take a look at their win total and some of their odds here to win the division and win the conference. You know, you can get 8.5. It is pretty juiced to the over. You know, win totals are not really my thing. I kind of lean to the under on most win totals because, you know, things just happen so much in the NFL. Like, it's really tough, right, to lay money down on a minus 130 is, and you're not going to see the money for, you know, a few months. So I don't really like it. I'd rather parlay division winners. I don't think that Miami is going to win the AFC East. They're plus 450. They're 20-1 to win the conference. They're plus 275 to have a wild card berth. I put this in here because I think it's decent odds if you feel like they could be a wild card team. It's going to be tough, right? With the AFC West, we could see two wildcard teams from there. And then it's a battle between like Baltimore and Cleveland and Cincinnati. And then, you know, Miami's going to be battling with New England as well. The Super Bowl 40-1, you see last year, 9-8. They were actually hanging around last year to make the playoffs. They are a much improved team. Let's be honest here. As we switch over to some of their weapons, you're going to see a whole lot of new faces on this squad. Chase Edmonds, Raheem Mostert, Sony Michel, Tyreek Hill. Like, these are all new faces. You also got Tron Armstead is like a really strong addition on the offensive line, like from the Saints. Like, also bring in Mike McDaniel, who, you know, has spent his whole career with Kyle Shanahan, his entire career, San Fran, offensive coordinator last year, run game coordinator specialist in 2018, 19, 2020, 2018, 2017, offensive assistant coach in 2 years with Atlanta next to Shanahan, in time in Washington as an offensive assistant coach, wide receiver coach, time in Houston. Like, it has been his whole career right beside Shanahan. And we know Shanahan is a terrific play caller. We are just speculating that this offense will look like San Fran's offense. Now, when they signed Raheem Mostert went to Twitter and said, basically paraphrasing here, that McDaniel, who we spent time with in San Fran, was going to be used the exact same way. So how was he used in San Fran? Well, he was used as a lead running back, first down, second down, goal line work. Then they bring in Sony Michel. How is he used? First down, second down, a nose for the end zone, goal line work. They bring in Chase Edmonds. He's kind of just not really a guy that really runs between the tackles. He's got 5 games in his career where he's had 13-plus carries. In those games, not all that efficient running between the tackles. He's a guy who's changed the pace. I think we all in the fantasy community want him to be a 3-down back. This is not going to be the case. I think he's going slightly early. I think in a PPR league, I don't mind him as RB 34, 35, and this is the case. NFFC high-stakes leagues is a full-point setting. I think in a half-point setting, I would just rather pass. I don't think he's going to get the goal line work. He didn't get it in Arizona. He's never really gotten in the course of his career. It's been Kenyon Drake. It was Kyler running it in a bit. Chase Edmonds is going to be probably a guy. Honestly, I don't want to just break anybody's hearts because Chase Edmonds is very popular on the Twitter machine. I think he's going to be a guy that gets like 6 carries a game, catches out of the backfield, and that's where the value is going to come. He is really explosive. I think he deserves more touches, but the writing is on the wall. They also have Myles Gaskin on this squad as well. I think we'll see Raheem Mostert, Sony Michel with more carries this season than Chase Edmonds, as long as those two can stay healthy. I'm not going to sit here and say that Mostert's made of glass. That's not for me. People do say that, but when he is healthy, he is explosive, and he is a very good running back, and clearly McDaniel likes this guy for him to bring him over to Miami. It's just the weapons. What we really the backfield is complete mess. I'm avoiding it all. I think there's actually value on Sony Michel as like a late round pick. I'm interested in him, kind of. Doesn't work out, but don't be shocked if he's the lead. Like, I would not be shocked, guys, if he is the one who has more touches than Edmonds and Mostert. It's Hill and Waddle that you want to hear about, is it not? Both of these guys finished inside the top 10 in targets. Waddle was an absolute beast with his former quarterback and Tua Tagovailoa. I don't want to upset any Miami fans. I think I'm out, guys. It's a steep price to pay. If I'm choosing between the two, I'm choosing Tyreek Hill. The price is a little bit steeper. He's going as a top 10 wide receiver. He's very explosive. We know this, but we have to assume it's a bit of a downgrade, right? He can say all he wants that Tua has the best arm in football. He's more accurate than Patrick Mahomes. He can say all that all he wants. Nobody's buying it. Nobody's buying it, Tyreek. You're leaving Kansas City and Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, and you're going to a team last year that played at a slower pace. I know there's new coaching staff here, but it's not going to be the same offense. Tua threw the ball like 29 times per game last year. I don't feel like he's going to be a guy that drops back 40 plus times, but I do like the thought here of McDaniel. The things that he's been saying, get the ball in dude's hands, explosive after the catch. I'm fine with taking a shot on Tyreek. I like Jalen Waddle as an athlete. I just don't feel like he's going to be top 10 in targets. I just don't feel like he's going to average 10 targets per game like he did down the stretch of the season. And I just like other guys in around that range. I think I'd rather have an Allen Robinson, a Brandon Cooks. I think I'd rather go that way. And Gesicki's a bit of a fade for me as well. There's just a lot going on there in Miami, a lot of uncertainty. I think the Dolphins win 9 games. I think they knock on the door for a playoff opportunity. And I think Tua can be a top 15 quarterback, to answer your question, Daily Handle. I think he, not for fantasy, for real life, I think he can be top 20. And for fantasy, I think he can be top 15. The play calling is going to be key. Get the ball in these guys' hands and watch them make work happen. We're in here next. One more block. Got about 2 MLB picks for you. Don't go anywhere. My favorite pick on the board in the MLB is Zach Wheeler over 6.5 strikeouts at plus money, 9.6 K per 9, 114 punchouts in 106 innings. He had a stretch of 7 plus K and 10 of 11, 6 or fewer in his last 4, but tougher matchups. A matchup here today against Pittsburgh, second highest strikeout rate in baseball at 25%, bottom 5 in WOBA and WRC plus against righties, the second lowest average in baseball overall, no power at all. I like the under 5.5 hits. It's a little juice. We got it at minus 120 in the bet tracker, but it's now minus 140, something to consider in parlays. Jose Urena is the biggest contact guy in the game. He walks more guys than he strikes out, 4 per 9 K, and walked 18 hits in his last 17 innings in a matchup against the Dodgers. Shohei, this number at plus 160. Shohei has walked 6 guys over his last 3 starts. He's issued 2 free passes and 4 of 7, including 2 starts against Texas. And the Rangers have roughed him up a little bit, but he's had double-digit strikeouts in 5 straight starts. So I think he gets the Ks. I also think he gets the walks in there as well. Thanks so much, guys, for taking the time to hang out. Shout out to Duke, loves wrestling, and we will be back tomorrow. Underdog best ball draft coming your way tomorrow on Mean Streets. See ya. We'll talk to you soon. Cheers.